Hi, it's Eric. As always, thanks for listening to The Morning After, Q105, weekday mornings from 8 to 10. And we do some off-air exclusive podcasts. So we have a little more time. Maybe we use some salty language. There isn't any of that in this. But let me tell you who this is. Alex, I'll let him tell you his last name. But I met Alex at TEDx Toledo. He was also a speaker. And I was fascinated by the fact that Alex has done a lot of things that I think I would like to do. If you've ever watched National Geographic, do it like they do it on the Discovery Channel. Alex has been up close in these places with lots of these animals that you and I only see in zoos. Fix the board. We're ready to rock. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going. Let me introduce you. I'll use the F word. I'll call you a friend.
Okay. We've taken a big step.
We have. We've moved quickly in this relationship since. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. Let me introduce Alex, the goat. Goats.
It's Getz. But I know it's never going to be pronounced that way.
No.
I've accepted it.
Does everybody call you goats?
Yeah, I get Goatez a lot, though, too.
Goatez?
Yeah, they've just given up on rearranging the letters in the middle.
Alex, spell your last name G-O-E-T-Z.
Yes.
And I never heard anybody pronounce your last name, so I just went with goats, like greatest of all, like Tom Brady, greatest of all time.
Yeah.
But it's Getz.
Yeah.
Like, but you didn't respond to my message the other day. I said, I'm going to be really disappointed if I keep sending you all these goat emojis and it's pronounced like Smith or the G is silent.
But no, I respond to the goat emojis. I think they're fun.
Alex Getz. Alex is a professional wildlife photographer.
Yeah, we'll say like documentary filmmaker who focuses on wildlife and conservation topics.
You need an acronym.
I know. It's just the goat.
Okay. And I met Alex because Alex was a TEDx Toledo speaker back in September. And Alex and I began to chat with one another because you were petrified.
Yes. Public speaking is not necessarily my thing. Small groups are okay. But basically, I just connected with Eric and was like, dude, I'm freaking out. And he was not freaking out nearly as much as I am. But I think that's because you do this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do well like when I have to go socialize.
Yeah.
Unless it's people like almost immediately connect with. But if you ask me to go somewhere, like Ashley always asked me to go out on Saturday. With people? No, the couch is right here. The dogs are next. But yeah, I get energized speaking in front of people. And then my words of wisdom to you were, you have basically stuck a camera in the face of animals that eat most humans alive. These Toledoans are not going to do anything to you like
yeah.
that.
No, it's hard. You get comfy and you forget about things. Like when I came back from Africa, I was like, nothing will compare. Like I just experienced some of the most dangerous things you can experience in the wild. And I'm like, Ohio will be nothing. Like I could go camp and just sleep on the ground, or I can go do whatever in Toledo. But you forget.
Did you ever see The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
There's a scene in there during the cocktail party.
Yeah.
And Rachel tells Harvey when he's all anxious about being at Bruce Wayne's big fundraiser. Harvey Dent, scourge of the underworld, afraid of the trust fund brigade.
Yeah. That's
you. I'll go shoot wild animals with my camera in unsafe places, but in a bar to talk about things I know about. But you did a great actually.
But in front of that's the thing is I can go socialize and talk about animals in like a one-on-one or like one on a few people setting.
But a group?
Like I've done small groups before and I've talked to small groups before. But like getting up in front of like, I don't even know how many people were there.
About 100?
There were a lot of people there in the morning. And that was the crazy thing was it was packed.
And they were there. They paid to hear your intellectual stories and what you had to share.
I blacked out.
Did you really?
Yeah, like I don't remember really doing much of it. Like I don't, and I won't even watch the video, so I don't even know how I did.
You did great.
Well, thanks.
You did great. Actually, wait, no. I listened to your YouTube.
Yeah.
When I was walking the dogs one day, but you did a great job. And
well, thanks.
The projector went down, I think, on you?
I don't know what happened with the projector. It was the audio. Something happened with the audio. My video played, and you got the music, but you didn't get the voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd hear the music, like, dip for the voice to come in and then go back up. And you were just like, okay, Like, I immediately saw people who worked at, like, ad agencies sitting in the front row, and I'm like, crap, they're going to think I don't know how to, like, mix audio properly for my videos.
But or
whatever.
They'll be like, wow, this guy can really think with his feet. Which is, after I listened to that, I was like, oh, I like this guy. I could be his friend.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into this. So, documentary, what was it again?
I don't know, documentary filmmaker.
Documentary filmmaker. Give me some of what you talked about at the TED Talk, because you have had some amazing experiences, stuff that I'm extremely envious of, where a lot of people go, man, I wish I could travel the world. And you have. And you have slept in places where people shouldn't be sleeping. So tell me about all this stuff.
Yeah, so in my junior year of college, I basically applied for a grant, and it was a grant, $6,000 to do whatever you wanted. And you basically just had to talk about your passion. And at the time, with my friend Justin Grubb, our passion was wildlife films. Like, that's really what we wanted to be doing, and it still is.
Why that? Like, where did, like, where
I don't know.
You're like, I like wild animals?
I had always loved animals, and I was like, I'm going to become a vet. And then I realized, like, I couldn't become a vet or a biologist because I'm just terrible with math.
Okay.
Like, I'm just horrible.
Yep.
And so I'm like, well, I've always loved film and video or photo, so I'll just go into filmmaking. Got like a year or two into my filmmaking study at BGSU, and was just like everybody was trying to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what
I realized.
What was that? Like, you want to be the next Spielberg? Or?
They all wanted to be the next Spielberg.
Gotcha.
And it was like nobody even wanted to do documentary. So it was like moving into documentary was already uncharted territory for like most people in that degree. But then adding wildlife to it, like my professors, I'm pretty sure, were like, we don't know what to even teach you.
Right.
Like, you're just kind of on your own. So yeah, combining that with wildlife, I'm like, this could be cool. Like, there's not a lot of wildlife filmmakers out there. So we did that. We got the $6,000 grant. It was awesome. We got to go backpack around Costa Rica for about a month.
What was that like?
It was amazing. It was just like animals everywhere, monkeys everywhere, all kinds of stuff.
Is Costa Rica, because I see that like you can go vacation there and there's beaches, but I'm guessing like not near the water is jungle-like?
Yeah, yeah. You get, that's the thing, is the diversity of like terrains in Costa Rica is just amazing. We were mostly on the West Coast. But if you go to the East Coast and you go to the Caribbean, I mean, it's like crystal clear blue
right.
water.
That's where I would go.
Yeah.
I don't want to go near
the
island.
I didn't go there, but I've been to the Caribbean multiple times, so it made up for it.
Like, I'll make this real simple here. You have been to places where they shoot, like, Naked and Afraid and Survivor.
Yeah, and we went to a place where they were actually filming, I think, a Survivor series or season. We were in Honduras on this really small island called Cayos Cochinos. It could fit inside like a football field. And we got there and the people living on this island were like, oh, are you here for Survivor? And we're like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, the island over there, they're filming Survivor at right now. And I'm like, we should totally just boat up and just like, what's up, everybody?
Rookies!
Like, just like appear in the middle of a Survivor season.
What are some of the animals that you have encountered or... Look, if anybody knows who you are and they see you shooting birds now, this is very safe compared to, because you're helping out the Metro Parks. And the birds are actually, for those that don't know, we have an amazing, diverse scene of birds here in Toledo. But
it's random.
You've seen some incredible animals as you've been doing this. Like what?
Yeah, so Africa was amazing in that we basically got a safari truck for 5 weeks and we just drove. And we just drove through as many national parks as we could, and we slept in the truck, and we camped just in these national parks. So at any given time, an animal could just walk through your campsite. And kill you if it wanted to,
I'm guessing you're a good documentary maker because you're live. The bad ones get eaten?
Probably. The bad ones definitely get, like, just too close.
Right.
No, so we've seen everything. Like, we've been really close to, like, leopards, lions, elephants, all kinds of stuff. And I mean, in Costa Rica and stuff, we've played around with venomous snakes a little bit.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's always these fun things that happen.
So you talked about playing around with them. These other animals, you're in their ecosystem. Can you interact with them in any way?
So,
or is that unwise?
It really depends on where you're at. Like in Central and South America or like the Caribbean, like, yeah, you're in their ecosystem and they're going to interact with you. But in Africa, some weird thing has started to happen where basically they recognize your vehicle as another animal.
Because there's so many people there going for that?
Yes. I mean, basically it's illegal to get out of your vehicle unless you have permits in a national park in Africa.
Okay.
Because you're probably going to get killed by something.
Right. And they don't want to clean you up.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that'll kill you there. And so just getting, yeah, you, they recognize you as a single unit. And if you stick your arm out too far, they're going to be like, oh, what's this? So we would pull up within like 5 to 10 feet of lions. And we did it in, like, pitch black at night, turned off all the lights, and sat next to a big full-grown male lion as he was calling. And it's like,
what's,
you know,
calling?
Like, he was calling for, like, his what's it called? His little family unit.
His pride?
His pride. I slipped the word. But, yeah, he was calling for his pride, and it's, like, sometimes it's called, like, chuffing. And so he was calling for him, and, I mean, it was so loud, and you just felt it, like, in all of your body. And I'm like, we're sitting in pitch black with this big full-grown male lion sitting right next to us. And we're in, like, an open-top Jeep, like, a normal-sized Jeep with no top on it. So, like, if he wanted to jump on top, like, he's on top.
Why didn't he?
I don't know.
They didn't view you as a threat?
No, usually they recognize, like, smaller, like, well, I guess not smaller things, but bigger things like that is, like, not worth their time. Because they usually hunt in their pride.
Right.
So being one lion taking on something big like an elephant is just dumb. So
okay. So they teach you how to be a filmmaker in whatever your chosen specialty is. With school, you talked about BGSU. One thing I guess I've always thought or wanted to ask you is, like, they don't teach you how to behave around these animals that you went to, correct?
Oh, no. Like, yeah.
How do you learn that stuff?
I don't know. It's just a matter of, like, learning the biology of it, which is something that I wasn't as experienced in. But with the guy, Justin, that I was filming a lot of the stuff with, he's a biologist. He didn't have the filmmaking background.
Gotcha.
Now we've kind of, like, mixed those two together. No, you just got to know what an animal's behaviors are going to be and, like, what might be a sign of aggression. So, mm-hmm. like, with elephants, we'd drive up to whole, like, herds of elephants. And their ears, if they, like, flap their ears out and, like, leave them out and kind of lift their trunk at you, they're like, what are you doing here? Like, maybe you should leave.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would recognize those signs and be like, okay, like, let's put the car in drive and let's just be ready for anything. And so there's all these different signs you can pick up on with certain animals.
But so you had somebody with you who knew these things.
Oh, we just learned it.
Okay. Oh, okay. 'Cause, like,
yeah, we read up on it. But, I mean, the first week we were there, we were actually there with a group that it has a show with Nat Geo Wild called Safari Live. And they're all basically safari guides who do 6 hours of live streaming safari on the internet every day. And so they are around these animals every single day. So that 1 week was like our training. It was like, learn this now so when you go out on your own, like, you'll survive.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And we did.
I couldn't imagine, like, how much you can learn in such a short period of time. And then you go out into potentially dangerous animals and their ecosystem, and where, like, you've got glasses on, you're wearing a black and red shirt. Like, let's say they don't like the color red, and you don't know that, and then all of a sudden you're inside the belly of a lion or whatever. Yeah. I mean, as much as I would love to do this, I would be concerned about something like that. Like, my brother's dog is or was feral.
Hmm.
She has a problem with men.
Hmm.
Something in the past.
Yeah,
I'd have to take my hat off around her, or else she would get really weird. Like, those little things that you can't know. I'm surprised you're still alive.
I am too. The first couple of nights we were camping was really intimidating, because I'm like, I'm in a tent and anything could just pull this tent apart.
Right.
And we did have one weird situation where I got up in the middle of the night and I'd use the restroom. It was just walk out and pee in a bush. But my routine was I would take my really bright flashlight, open up the zipper of the tent, and it was like a screen, and I would just flash it out, like, all over the place really fast to, like, spook whatever might be out there. And I did that and immediately heard, like, a growling back. And I'm like, okay, like, we're not going out to the bathroom then. So I just laid back down and was like, my heart was beating. And I sat there for, like, 15 minutes, and I heard really loud purring, like, moving around our campsite. So I'm assuming there was probably, like, a leopard there. So there was probably a leopard just wandering through our campsite. And they've been known to take out people in the middle of the night. So,
and
that's, I'm
terrifying.
Like, all that's between me and them is the fabric of this tent.
Correct.
Which is amazing. Right. But I was more worried about something spooking, like, an elephant, and an elephant, like, running through our campsite.
I got a great question.
Yeah.
This is Alex Getz, a friend of mine, fellow TEDx Toledo speaker and documentary filmmaker with a specialty and interest in wildlife. Would you rather have been ripped to shreds by some kind of big cat or stomped to death by an elephant?
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to say stomp to death. Because if they give me one good stomp, I might be done immediately. Rip to shreds might take a while.
You go out and pee in the bush. How did you poop?
Oh, we would normally just save it for the when we're driving from park to park and eventually find a toilet.
What did you eat?
Oh, we would just stock up. We got the safari truck that had like an industrial fridge built into the bed of it. And basically we would just go to the store in the town and we would stock up on stuff. But I mean, it came down to like we would eat, like our meals towards the end of it was just leftover things. Mm-hmm. So like hot dog chunks and onions and potatoes and like Oreos. And like that was it.
Like real survivor stuff.
Yeah. When we were first starting out, we basically sacrificed as much as we could to save as much money because we're broke college kids at the time. Mm-hmm. And so we would buy a loaf of bread, a thing of peanut butter, and that would be our meal for like a week on a trip. We would just eat peanut butter on bread.
I'd be okay with that.
It was okay for a while. And then, I mean, you just get tired of it eventually, but especially in hot environments.
When you're out there, like, how do you know, again, this is just like my acute imagination always working. How do you know, like, if you touch that plant, like, you're not going to get some kind of, like, poisonous rash? Or
actually, that's probably the one thing we don't study up on is plants. So I'm actually amazed we did as well as we did.
Because we're walking through a jungle in some places,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, in Costa Rica, there was a point where we were literally in jungle. We had kind of gotten off a path. And, like, there could be pit vipers, like venomous snakes, just sitting. And they're everywhere.
Right.
They are literally everywhere. But it's just whether they want to bite you or not. Because it's like for a venomous snake to bite you, they're wasting like a lot of their energy to reproduce that venom.
Right.
So it's like most of the time these snakes don't want to bite you. It's only when they feel like truly cornered. But if you're walking by, they're just like, whoa, like step back.
Before we get to the water thing,
the water thing,
you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Okay. Before we get to that, when is the most frightened you've been in one of these environments? Was it the purring leopard time?
The purring leopard time was definitely one of the top. I've had a couple, and this probably will go into your, this will carry well over into your water one.
Okay. Am I asking all the right questions so far?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No, I have an appreciation for everything underwater. I always was kind of afraid of the ocean. Like, I would go in it, but I was always worried about what was underneath. I just, when you get in the ocean and you're snorkeling in like deep, deep water, you're like, it reminds you humans are not meant to be there.
Correct.
And so I've snorkeled a lot in some really cool places in some of the best reefs in the world. And only one time has there been sharks. And the one time I found sharks, I was like hand on the boat, like snorkeling. Like as soon as that shark turns towards me, no matter how far away it is, I'm like throwing myself back in the boat. And like I appreciate them. I know they're not like mindless killing machines. But they're so intimidating.
Right.
They're, like, really intimidating. So to, like, trick yourself to not be nervous around sharks, it's...
Good luck.
I'm still working on that. If I have trouble with a TED Talk, I think I'm going to have trouble with sharks for a little while.
And I think you're right to have issues with sharks. So you're not a water person, right?
Not a huge water person.
And you, where was the snorkeling and the underwater exploration happening at?
We've done a lot of stuff in Honduras.
Okay.
So around some islands out there. They have actually some of the best coral reef and the second largest coral reef in the world, obviously. Great Barrier Reef's the first.
That won't be around much longer anyway, right?
Unfortunately. so they have some of the best reef in the world. And I mean, it's beautiful stuff.
Is this on the Caribbean side?
Yeah, it's on the Caribbean side. That's where you're going to find most of the reef because, I mean, these islands just form these little barriers so that the, like, ocean currents and the how strong the waves are and stuff don't just break through everything.
I think when I was listening to your TED Talk, did you do scuba diving?
I tried once. Oh, that's what you're referencing.
Yeah, that was fun. There's a part in Alex's TED Talk where he was basically like, you can go blank yourself if you think I'm getting in the water. Like,
yeah.
You, like, some people don't like heights or whatever. Like, you seemingly had a fear of deep sea diving this guy said, you're doing it.
Yeah. Justin Grubb, the guy I film with, is an avid scuba diver. So I normally just snorkel above and just like, look, that thing's cool. And
right.
I point to, but they can't see me. They're so deep. He was like, we're signing you up to go and learn how to scuba dive while we're in Costa Rica. Signs me up with some guy who barely knows any English. I get on the boat and he like suits me all up and just pushes me in, and I'm like freaking out. And he's like, "You just got to remember to breathe." That was like one of the only things he said in English. It was like, "Don't stop breathing." And I'm
that's good advice for everyday life.
Yeah, that's good advice. And that was one of my takeaways with the TED Talk. But he was like, "Don't stop breathing," and he just starts letting the air out of your BCD, like the flotation device you have.
So you sink.
And so I just started sinking, and I was not prepared. And I basically went into like full panic mode because I felt like I wasn't in control of my own situation. And I was just like, "Nope, we're done," and got back up in the boat. And it's funny. I got back in the boat, and they were just like, "Whatever, go snorkel." Wasn't prepared to snorkel in Costa Rica for like an hour, and so I didn't put any suntan lotion on, and I got some poisoning from snorkeling on the water. And so for like 3 days, I was in like the worst pain I've ever been in my life.
It sucks to have. Look how pale I am.
It's horrible.
You can't move. You feel paralyzed.
Yes, and it feels like you have pain under your skin, and you can't access it.
Right.
It's just the worst.
Have you ever seen the movie Open Water?
No, I haven't. No.
Good movie. It's like the shark movie.
Yeah.
For what you did.
Is that the one on the boot where the girl's on like the buoy or whatever? There was one that recently came out.
No, you're thinking of the Blake Lively one.
Yeah.
Where she was stuck somewhere. She could see land. No, this was a couple that went on a honeymoon somewhere you probably have been. And somebody got off the boat. And basically, they miscounted and they left the couple in the middle of the ocean.
That's fun.
And it was just them and all the things that, like, you'd see shark circling.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, piranhas or something.
They're what?
Like, "Oh, I think I felt something at me." And your head playing tricks with you. But, yeah, they miscounted, so they never got back on the boat.
Oh my gosh.
It was funny. At the end, I think... Sorry to ruin it, but this movie is like 15 years old, and I think there's been sequels. But I think the guy died, and then the woman watched him die, and then she just let the stuff out of her life jacket, closed her eyes and mouth, and killed herself.
How fun.
Yeah. So now what? What are you doing now? You want me to go out with you. I'd go with you.
Yeah, yeah. We got to go on some adventure. I'm planning on taking Eric somewhere. Somewhere exotic. We got to go like Costa Rica.
I would love to go.
We should go.
For like when I listened to you, and granted it was summer, I was out walking the dogs. It was just a beautiful night. I felt the blood flowing in my my anxiety and my interest and my eagerness wanting to go on a trip.
Yeah.
So what does it take to like what kind of resources does it take to do for this? Cuz you know, I'd like to go over to Europe and not maybe backpack, but go from city to city. And a lot of people can't take 2-3 weeks to do this. So what kind of resources does it take to do one of these trips? Even if you're not going to film things, but you just want to go get outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, well, I really think it depends on where you go. I think coming back from Africa gave me a new appreciation for what's in the United States.
Like
we have some amazing national parks. Like I went to Yellowstone.
Right.
Yellowstone is one of my all-time favorite places.
I would go there with you.
Yellowstone is amazing. And there's so many other parks that are on my list right now, like Badlands or Theodore Roosevelt or Wind Caves. Like, there's a lot of those, like, Native American, like, those Western animals that you see all the time in movies about the West. But there's some amazing cheap places you can go in the U.S.
Like where? Cheap is what I'm shooting
for. I mean,
for.
You could go and do, like, I hear people tell me they got trips to Denver, like, round trip for, like, $100 to $200 on a flight. And then once you fly into Denver, like you fly over to Salt Lake City, you're within maybe 5 to 8 hour drive of a lot of national parks.
Right.
Like Tetons has moose and bear and wild, like all kinds of stuff. So those are cool. That's not like the Caribbean clear water stuff that a lot of people go for. But most places in Central and South America, you can get a round trip ticket for maybe $500-$600. Which isn't really that bad.
No, not at all.
And then it's just a matter, a lot of those places are cheap. Usually the biggest expense and the worst part is just the ticket to get there.
Sure.
But yeah, there's a lot of cool places. I would just say I lived basically poor so that I could afford to go and travel as much as I could in my later years in college.
Right.
So that's kind of how I still live. Obviously, like I'm married now and my wife, Callie, would just be like, I can't just leave all the time anymore. But if I bring her with me, I can usually convince her to go somewhere.
You're like committed to somebody else. You're responsible for them in some ways. You should get life insurance in case.
She just signed me up. She's like, "How did you not have life insurance yet?"
I don't have life insurance.
I'm about to.
Right, because you didn't have anybody to give anything to, right?
It's true. I didn't.
Right.
But it's like, yeah. She's worried I'm going to get killed by some animal. Like
she should be worried.
I guess so.
Let's wrap up with the things that you do now, because my therapist, of all people, turned me on to this because he has like a little bird feeder out in his backyard.
Yeah.
And there'd be times where we'd be in session and I'm looking over and I'm like, that is the most beautiful look. We have some really eye-catching birds here in freaking Toledo. And you help out the Metro Parks, right?
Yeah, I started doing a couple projects for them. I just did an Instagram takeover. And yeah, it's that exact thing. Is the wildlife diversity in Ohio, like Toledo, is not massive, but
neither
is
the human population.
Yeah,
there's white people and black people.
Yeah,
no Jews. Got the Spanish people. This is the least diverse place I've ever lived.
Yeah,
so it's animals and humans.
Yeah, and so, but we are known for one of the best birding spots in the United States, especially
for real.
Like in May and I think the end of summer. And usually it's these little, small, like beautiful looking birds. But even in the winter, we're getting all kinds of really cool looking birds. And that's probably what you were seeing.
Yeah, there's birds that like I the best way I can describe it is they look like sports team logos.
Yeah.
Like the Blue Jays.
There's Blue Jays and Cardinals and tufted titmice. And there's tufted titmouse. They're like, if you find it on my Instagram, it's the cutest little gray bird ever. There's all kinds of cool stuff. The woodpeckers around here, we have like four different types of woodpeckers, and they're just really cool looking birds.
Yeah.
I mean, the bald eagles and the hawks and stuff like that.
I know this sounds like the most boring stuff, but I swear to God, look, people that know me know I'm like comic books and Batman and all that stuff. But like the birds around here are very cool to look at. Like
they are.
If somebody said to me, like, hey, you want to go with Alex to look at birds, like most you'd think no, but there are cool things to look at.
There are cool things.
So where can, like, I know you do a lot of videos for your Instagram and you took over the Metro Parks. Like, give me all your Instagram stuff so people can see these things that I'm not talking about to smack.
Yeah. Go to my Instagram page. It's Agetz Film. It's AGOETZ Film. There's all kinds of different animals. I'm sharing a lot of stuff from my honeymoon right now, but we basically did a national park tour out west. So there's a lot of really cool things that you'd see out there. But, I mean, you'll see stuff from Africa. You'll see stuff from Australia, Costa Rica, Honduras, all kinds of really cool things. And there's a link to my most recent video that we shot for Nat Geo Wild in the bio. So you could go check that out. That's our Africa video. But, yeah.
From your honeymoon pictures, which I quite frankly got tired of because I kept liking them. So I fed the algorithm. And
now it's just my honeymoon pictures.
Yeah, it was just you. And it was amazing. I was like, why is Alex so small? People have heard about, like, what I guess California redwoods.
Yeah.
You were like the size of an ant next to this one tree, which, you know, I've seen pictures and things before, but I mean, to see the perspective of you being a little ant with that tree was magnificent.
Yeah, there's some amazing stuff. And that's exactly it. It's like these trips are cheap. You just got to book a nice, like, cheap flight sometime and go out. You got to be ready to maybe be cold a little bit. That's when you get the best flights. But if you can live in Toledo and survive a winter here, you can go out west and survive a winter out
there. I'm semi-hibernating. I mean, we've had a little bit of a break from the relentless snow, like a dusting here and there every day, and the single-digit wind chills and all that stuff. We were supposed to get hit pretty hard on Tuesday, but it looks like that's backed off a little bit. But I can't quite say that I survive our winters. I definitely don't thrive in them.
Yeah.
Can we do a warm weather getaway? I'll go with you there.
We will go. You should do a live Eric Chase Live, but we'll go out in the field.
I would love that.
And we'll go birding or something.
Yeah, I told you I'll go with you when you're not bundled up. Like, and the only thing I see with you on social is your face. Everything else is covered.
It's so cold. I'm not a cold weather person either. So this has been an experience taking photos from the Metro Parks in the winter because it's been cold. But I saw a bald eagle rip apart a duck on the river.
They do that?
Yeah, at Middle Grounds. Literally swooped in, grabbed a duck, and started shredding it right on the ice. And I'm
holy
like,
crap.
This is happening right in downtown Toledo. It's pretty cool.
Did I not ask anything that you would have liked me to ask about your TED Talk?
No, I think if you want to find my TED Talk, just YouTube Alex Goetz. I think it'll pop up.
G-O-E-T-Z.
G-O-E-T-Z.
The goat. The goat.
And there'll be some cool things in there about just different wildlife experiences I've had. I try to relate it to people.
You did a great job.
Hopefully you find some sort of like special meaning in it.
Like, what would you like people to find in it?
No, I think ultimately it's about pursuing a passion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one is just like coming to me, like handing me millions of dollars to go film wildlife.
Right.
So it's figuring out what you want to do and sticking with it, whether it's tough or not. I mean, we've won film competitions for our short films we've done, and I mean, I still don't have like BBC like produce the next Planet Earth, and it's
difficult.
It is.
It really is.
And the people who stick through with most of these careers are gonna be the ones who ultimately make it. I hope. We'll see. Talk to me in a year and see how discouraged I am.
But, I will. We'll have you back. My takeaway was that here's a guy that's just like me, and you were face to face with wild animals half a planet away. And people need to get out of their comfort zones.
Oh, yeah.
And it is a big planet, and there are some amazing things to see. And you should see them before the president gets us nuked. And
that's true.
The globe doesn't exist anymore.
Or the super volcano in Yellowstone goes off.
How close are we to that?
I don't know. They keep changing the date.
I know that the doomsday clock a couple weeks ago got moved pretty close to midnight. But
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, so there's plenty to see on this planet. And as you pointed out, if you look for the right flights and you actually, like I said, you had the blood coursing through my veins thinking, I got to do this. Like, I want to go somewhere. So
yeah, we're going.
You can take me.
All right.
I'll do the Yellowstone thing.
Let's do the Yellowstone thing.
Like when I went to Cancun by myself a couple of years ago, it was my first passport trip, and I'm like, I need a starter place.
Yeah.
And you couldn't start any startery than Cancun.
Cancun would be awesome. There's whale sharks you could go snorkel with. A whale shark is the largest fish on the planet. And
right.
You can they just cruise along.
I knew that. I'll give you, to wrap up, I'll give you my encounter with wildlife.
Yes.
When I was in Cancun, just all-inclusive resort, just like all the rest of them, and there was a pool that snaked from one end of the resort to the other. So hundreds of yards. Not hundreds of... Yeah, maybe about 400 or 500 yards. Football fields. And I heard the commotion as I'm laying by the pool, and then this woman with a microphone and a speaker on a golf cart comes over and says, the dolphins are going to perform. I'm like, this is incredible. This is so cool. I'm like, I could see how they could do this. I could see how they're trainable animals that you could have.
Yes.
They were blow-up dolphins.
What? They just threw them out in the pool. That's awesome. We got to take you swimming with dolphins then. I've swam with some dolphins.
I would do that.
Not in like a bad way. There's bad ways to swim with dolphins and there's good ways to swim with dolphins.
Final thing. What's the bad way to swim with dolphins? Because every time you see the videos, they always seem very friendly.
If they're trained and they're lifting you up in the air, that's a bad way of swimming with dolphins. If they're out in the environment and you are swimming with them and you're not feeding them fish or touching them and they interact with you but you don't interact with them, that's the best way to swim with dolphins.
Alex Goetz, what's all the social stuff again?
Go find me on Instagram. AGOETZ film on Instagram.
Love it. Thanks for waking up early.
No, I've been up for a while.
Good stuff.
Thanks for having me.
Do you wake up and feel refreshed?
It depends. I related to Demetrius when he said 7 hours is like perfect time.
Right.
7 hours is exactly what I need to function.
Do you wake up without an alarm clock?
I could, but I get too nervous.
Gotcha.
If I have things to do in the morning.
Are you a morning person?
Yeah, probably way more than I should be.
Okay.
You should ask my wife. She'll be like, oh, he's horrible.
Oh, so you guys are the opposite?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like, I wake up and I'm like, it's a wonderful day. And I'm like singing songs and running around the apartment. And
yeah, stick your head in the lion's mouth.
Yeah, right?
Alex, the goat, gets all this on Q105.com, a The Morning After podcast, off-air exclusive.